Hey everybody, Sean Tierney here from the Automation Blog and School, and in this episode of the Automation Podcast, I interview the host of the Manufacturing Happy Hour podcast, Chris Lewecki, to learn all about his show, his day job, and his thoughts on industrial automation.
Chris, thank you for coming on the Automation Podcast and being agreeing to be interviewed. In the past, over the last 50 plus episodes, we were doing mostly vendor product presentations, you know, bringing the audience, you know, what's new with different products. And, you know, we just did our 100th episode where I sat down and talked about the future of automation with a bunch of vendors. And I thought, you know, that was fun. Let's talk to some other people out there in industry. And you were one of those lucky people that Ira Shop had on his top 12 automation podcasts. So that's why I reached out to you. And I thought we'd start first by maybe introducing yourself to my audience, kind of telling them what you do now, what your job is, kind of a little bit about your history and background with automation.
Yeah, so pleasure to be here, Sean. It's always been good seeing you around the web. Good that we get to connect in, let's say, virtually in person for this. But yeah, happy to go into a bit of my background. So my name is Chris Lewecki, and long story short, I help manufacturers tell their story to their ideal audience. And, you know, there are a couple hats I wear in the manufacturing industry. You know, you and I both have past connections to Rockwell Automation during the day, or I should say it's very blended together. But half of my job is I work as a business leader over at Fix Software, which is a CMMS company. So anyone that digitizes their maintenance or needs to digitize their maintenance, that's what we do there. But what I know we're here to talk about largely today is Manufacturing Happy Hour. And I'm a podcast host there, have been for really over 5 years now. And that's the show where we break down the biggest trends and technologies by interviewing manufacturing leaders. So a one-on-one style interview format show where we take on those challenges that I said technology, but a lot of times it's related to people, right? Whether it's workforce, whether it's leadership. So Manufacturing Happy Hour is where you can find me most of the time, whether that's on iTunes, Spotify, all the main spots. And quite frankly, you can find me around LinkedIn quite a bit as well. So that's a little bit about what I do.
Sure. Excellent. And I saw you had a long history with Rockwell Automation from your LinkedIn profile. And, you know, you've been podcasting for a long time too. So, well, let's get this out of the way before we get too far into this podcast. If my audience wants to tune in and listen to your podcast, when you already said it was Manufacturing Happy Hour, you already talked mm-hmm. about how you're talking with, you know, thought leaders in industry about, you know, about interesting topics. When do you typically release your, is it a weekly, bi-monthly, monthly? How often do you release a podcast and what typical day does it come out on?
Yeah, good question. It is a weekly show and it will be in your, whatever your favorite podcast feed is, every Tuesday morning. So whether that's Spotify, iTunes, some of the more niche spots like Stitcher, it's on all the platforms. And of course, if you want to get there and access it anywhere, manufacturinghappyhour.com is a great spot to find it as well. That's where you can access all our history, show notes from all the episodes, and ways to connect with all the cool people that we've interviewed on the show.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know we try to release on Wednesdays. Sometimes it just gets so hectic here because it's basically me and some freelancers I hire that it slips. But I'm trying for our audience, trying to keep it very deterministic that it'll always be out on Wednesday. And we've been able to queue up some as we've gone to weekly this year. I've been able to queue up enough to keep that going. And the response has been great. And we also are on all of those platforms as well this year. And just really enjoying it. We're seeing the, you know, even though, you know, the news today said that YouTube is the king of podcasts, that they've taken that over from Spotify, we put a lot of effort into trying to get out there on those audio only channels. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because we only do once a week. So there's four other days of the week, four other commutes that our audience doesn't have somebody to listen to. So, you know, if somebody were to go to your website and look at your past episodes, could you maybe give us a sampling of some of the previous topics you've covered, you know, just a few, just to kind of give our audience a feel of, you know, what they would expect if they tuned in?
Yeah, it's funny. I just got done writing a keynote called 10 Lessons I've Learned from Over 100 Interviews with Manufacturing Leaders. And it really keys in on a lot of the themes that come up in the show. So let's talk tech first, right?
Sure.
Cybersecurity is something that comes up on the podcast all the time. Digital transformation, big and small, whether it's, hey, how do I transform an enterprise? We talk to leaders that have moved their enterprises into the future, connected business systems, connected control systems. Digital transformation is a big one, or maybe it's just digitizing something small. Like I said, you know, I work at a company called Fix Software, right? It could just be as simple as digitizing your maintenance department, for example. So digital transformation, industry 4.0, insert your buzzword here for that topic. We try to get really practical and pragmatic with that. But beyond those tech topics, you know, like I said earlier, a lot of the topics are related to people and leadership. So one thing I think of in a podcast is, you know, if you're running a tech-centric show like we do, you know, technologies evolve over time. A technology that you talk about today, maybe it's not as relevant 3 years down the line. But the reality is a lot of the topics we talk about on, hey, how do you lead a team? How do you lead change within your organization? Those topics are timeless. So to get a bit more specific on some of the things we talk about, diversity in the workforce. We talk about generations in the workforce quite a bit. We talk about, hey, how are you fighting through supply chain challenges? How did you lead through an unpredictable situation like COVID? Or simply, you know, what is it like coming up in the industry as a young startup, for example? We interview large companies, we interview small companies. So we get a lot of different perspectives from people of all walks of life and all different aspects of the manufacturing automation world. So maybe that was a bit more specific, like a bigger answer than you wanted. But man, we tackle a lot of topics that manufacturers are dealing with on a regular basis.
That's great. And that, you know, you definitely from all those interviews will have a unique perspective and come at it differently. I've always been a product geek myself, going all the way back to when I was a little kid and my brother got his first digital watch. And then I got my first transistor radio. And then, you know, when PCs and computer games first came out, you know, and you could actually afford them and have them at home connected to your TV. And I've always been really interested in new products and new features. And, but you know, there's a lot of other challenges going out there with personnel and with, you know, COVID and post-COVID and, you know, moving forward from that. So it's great to get every, you know, different people's thoughts and ideas on that. You know, it's funny because and I'd love to get your thoughts on where you see us going in the next, you know, few years. And one of the funny things I heard on a show, a new show that was released that I'm a little frustrated with. I've been fast forwarding a lot, but one of the characters in the show was talking about, yeah, back in the day we had tape and we had records and then we had CDs and now everything's just wireless and nobody uses CDs anymore. And I'm like, you know, I guess I'm still the type that puts everything on my phone or my device. So I don't have to worry about getting disconnected halfway through, you know, walking the dogs or whatever, you know, and that always on mentality. I've always been like, you know, having come up from the past where, you know, a lot of places, it's still today, even where we have a landline here, because even up here in the Berkshires, it's the cell phone coverage is very spotty. So, you know, it just, you know, are we already there yet where we have no physical media or no files on anything? Everything's wireless and everything's streamed and we don't have a copy of anything. I'm also an avid camper. So I have, you know, I've ripped 500 movies onto a hard drive and I have a Plex server that I use to serve up my movies because there's just don't have the bandwidth to stream anything. So, but that said, I'd love to get your thoughts. You know, technology is constantly evolving. And, you know, Justin, I know I'm kind of throwing this out there to you, you know, kind of off the cuff, but, you know, what are some of the things you see happening? You know, you're working with customers every day. What are some of the things you see changing in the coming years that we can, that you might be able to shed some insight on?
Well, I mean, changes in the coming years, I would say just the way, you know, what's my prediction for the industry like 3 to 5 years down the line? One of my guests recently made a really, I think, insightful comment. He said, we're not going to hire ourselves out of this workforce shortage, meaning that, hey, if we're going to fill all these millions of manufacturing jobs that continue to open up and go unfilled on a daily basis, we're going to have to automate more, right? I think especially within the manufacturing industry, with especially within the automation world, as you and I and your audiences, we realize that automation isn't putting anyone out of a job right now, because we have so many darn open jobs that, you know, we're not even close to having that conversation where it's like, oh, well, because we automated so much, we don't have jobs for this group of people anymore. I mean, that's not the case at all. You talk to a lot of these robotics companies, they're like, the second we put a new piece of robotics technology in, let's say, I don't know, a FedEx shipping facility, for example, yep. Those people get promoted to new roles because all of a sudden you need crew chiefs to manage the robots and also think about, hey, what other creative things can we do to automate more of this process? Because like I said, we already don't have enough people on the docks or enough people out there to work, right? So we need to automate if we're going to keep up with all the demand right now. So, you know, I guess my, you know, I feel like you could always share a lot of doom and gloom around, hey, are we going to have the people we need to fill these roles? But I'm going to put the positive spin on it, because I'm a glass half full type guy, beer half full type guy, since, you know, manufacturing happy hour. I'm going to say that I think one of the cool things we're going to see in the next 3 to 5 years is a lot more fulfilling roles and jobs in the manufacturing world, right? Things that people are excited and proud about that require creativity. Not to say people aren't proud of their jobs today, right? I think everyone takes some pride in what they do, but it's not going to be showing up and doing a monotonous task over and over that a robot could just as easily do. It's going to be someone showing up and figuring out, hey, how do we automate this even more effectively? So that way, you know, so-and-so doesn't need to strain their back lifting up that package every day, right? So-and-so can be thinking, hey, how do we improve this process in this part of the shipping facility, for example? That's kind of my anecdote and my story of where I see things going in the future.
You know, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm still, I remember when a Beechnut, they make baby food, when they built that new plant, their old plant was this really ancient brick building, many, many floors, and they built a brand new modern plant. It's beautiful. And on the wall, they had a picture of just, it seemed like it went on forever, just a very long table with ladies in hair nets and white outfits dicing up bananas, dicing up carrots, dicing up, and to go into the baby food, right? It would get mashed up. And you know, so they're sitting there peeling all these things. And it's like, you know, I think there was a time when that type of job was okay, where people would be like, hey, this is my lot in life. And, you know, I had piece part jobs when I was in college. You know, I was always looking for something different. I roofed, I worked in restaurants. And one year I worked in a machine shop, and I had to feed a machine the same piece a bazillion times a day. It was a horrible job, horrible job. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong, it paid for college, but, you know, you leave there at the end of the day, you're full of the machining oil. And you've really done one thing all day, is you've just taken a piece, put it in the machine. And those type of jobs, I think while they've provided people with an income and an ability to feed their family, pay their bills, and live a good life, I think more and more people don't want those jobs. I think a lot of the openings are, people are like, you know what? This is the 21st century. I need something more fulfilling in life than sitting there and peeling a carrot or a potato or feeding a machine. Or, you know, I remember down at Titleist when they were making golf balls, they had people who would take racks of cores and load the machines and racks of, and that's what they did all day. And it's and we probably all have relatives who have done that kind of work in the past. And so I think those unfulfilling or those very repetitive jobs, I would love to see them go away, because I don't think people want to do them anymore. I think we've evolved to the point where, you know, I think cognitively, you know, we just know that there's automation out there. We know it's like nobody wants to roll down their window anymore. Nobody will buy a car that doesn't have powered windows, right? I remember as a kid, my first car, it's like, oh, gotta get this window open, you know? And nobody wants a car with, and I think nobody wants to work those monotonous jobs anymore. I mean, for some, it's how they make a living, but I think more and more, those will be replaced with automation. And like you said, people will have more fulfilling jobs. They'll learn a trade. And a lot of times it'll be on the job training, but they'll learn a trade. And you know, quite honestly, you know, I know a lot of cashiers at these department stores that get upset when they bring in the automated cashier so you can check yourself out. But, you know, I can tell you four times in the last month, I was at a big, either a super a department store or home store, and I couldn't find anybody to help me. So yeah, get those people off the registers and out here in the store so they can help me. I can check myself out. So those are some of my thoughts. What do you think? Am I way off the track here?
Well, one thing I was thinking of is as we were riffing on this topic is, I think you're right. There are a lot of jobs, traditional jobs out there that people still look at as like a secure job that's an option. But the reality is there's so much cooler work people could be doing out there, but it requires a lot of leadership in the manufacturing industry as well. And that's why I stress that as such a big part of my podcast, right? Because we just talked about how the fact that, hey, if we're doing more automation, more robots, that creates new jobs. But we need a forward-thinking manufacturing leader at these facilities who's saying, you know what, this is the vision that I have for this facility 3 to 5 years down the line. We're going to automate this process first. We're going to automate this process second. And then that way you start creating those opportunities where people can go into those automated roles, right? Because, you know, back to your grocery store example, I think every time I go to one of those self-checkout spots, there's still a person there that's helping kind of lead and manage that process. But they're not doing the manual work. They're, you know, helping figure out, hey, what challenge has just come up, right? And I'm sure those grocery store workers that do that type of job, they see trends out there. They're like, you know what? This thing keeps breaking. Or you know what? This part of the process doesn't work right. You know what their job becomes? It becomes a problem solver to figure out, you know what? How do we make this more efficient? So that way when the next guest comes, they have a better guest experience, right? And I think when we automate jobs more and more and create these new roles that go along with it, right? That person's job no longer becomes, hey, I've got to make this widget. Their job becomes, hey, how do I make this experience more efficient, not only for the people here at the plant, but how do I make this experience better for the people that are ultimately buying our product at the end of the day? It becomes more of a customer and worker experience focused role.
Yeah, I think you're right. And leadership is so, so important. I think we've all worked for good leaders and bad leaders. And, we have a coffee place around the corner that whenever they hire somebody bad, we just stop going there because it's like, you know what? Getting the wrong coffee 3 days in a row, when you're specifically super clear, it's like, look, it's not the poor person who's working at the counter. If the leader's not watching them, making sure they're doing it right, then, and so many companies, they do use automation as a way to downstaff. Not thinking forward, I've seen so many companies actually put themselves out of business because they continually want to save money and reduce headcount until there's nobody left, including customers for their product. It's like, you want to be in that growth mode. You want to expand. You want to, get the repetitive jobs out and let's get these people with all this knowledge, this tribal knowledge they have, right? Having worked there so long, let's promote them and move them up. And I think that's you can see, that's where you got a business that's looking at the three-legged stool. Some of these leaders, they think the stool is one leg. Make a return on investment for my shareholders. Try to sit on a one-legged stool. You have to be a positive part of the community, and you have to provide a very good work environment for your employees. That's the three legs to any business. And you can see those who don't know that they typically don't last very long in that one-legged stool. But with that, can you, before we go, I want to learn a little bit more about the company you work for too, because people have heard you mention Fix and I think they're owned by Rockwell. Could you just talk about, I know we kind of did a little brief intro to them earlier, but maybe we could end with talking about them a little bit and what they do as a company. And maybe even, I know we talked CMMS, but some people listening or driving may not be aware of what that acronym stands for.
Yeah, so I can put it into a story, right? So sure, first, please. I should be very clear. Fix Software is spelled F-I-I-X. There are two I's, and I feel like that's one of the things that, someone could be like, Fix, I've searched for it, I can't find it. It's like Fix with two I's, so four letters. Anyway, now that we got those logistics out of the way, because this is a podcast, I mentioned it earlier, right? I threw around an acronym and kind of buzzwords like, hey, we digitize maintenance and it's a CMMS system, computerized maintenance management. But what does that really mean, right? So let me tell you a quick story to really illustrate what Fix does. Say you are a young maintenance tech and you're walking into the plant. You've been there, you've been working at a, let's say a bottling plant for 3 months, right? You're a maintenance person. You get in there and you find out, oh gosh, the filler on line one is down this morning, right? But you don't have a digitized maintenance platform. So the first, you know, you get this notification because you get an email from the second shift worker that was working right before you being like, hey, Chris, you know, filler on line one is down. So I'm like, all right, I'm a maintenance person. I can deal with this. I've seen things break down before. So I march out there. I go and I look at the filler and I'm like, oh, man, I haven't worked on this machine before. So it takes me, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes for me to figure out what the issue is. And I find out, oh, a simple belt is broken, right? You know, if I were a more seasoned maintenance person, maybe I would have been able to figure out what this issue was in, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But because I don't have any documentation, because I'm kind of out there on my own to figure out what the issue is, it took me a little while. So, you know, I see the belt's broken. I go to the storeroom and I'm like, gosh, I hope we have this in spares, right? And I look at it and I'm like, well, thank goodness we have the right belt in place today, right? So I breathe a sigh of relief. I grab that belt. I walk back out to the plant floor. You know, I do my best to get it fixed. Eventually, I get it fixed up right. I had to run back to the maintenance shop to grab a manual just to double check everything. But anyway, it takes me, I don't know, let's say it took me an hour and a half to get that filler back up and running, right? Well, the reality is a digitized maintenance platform like Fix can streamline that whole process by giving you a lot of that information in a single spot. So let's say I have a digital platform and I go into the plant. I've gotten a notification from my phone that morning saying, hey, the filler's down, right? So I go out there. I just open it up from my phone. I'm like, oh, good. Here are the manuals. Here's what the individual that recently retired used to do on this machine. I can access a video on how to diagnose that belt issue and get it fixed. And by the way, I can check to make sure I have the right spare parts in stores right from my phone. So I'm not worried about going to the storeroom. I've got all that information right in front of me because I have a digitized maintenance platform. And because those bill of materials, those procedures, all of that is right in front of me, I'm able to get that belt changed out in 30 minutes instead of an hour and a half. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's what Fix does. It helps maintenance folks do their job more effectively. Even if you're a new person, hey, you can put all that tribal knowledge into a system like that. So even the people that have worked there for 10, 20, 30 years, you can capture all that knowledge and have that right at your fingertips. So that way you can be proactive in taking care of maintenance issues. And by the way, with a good digitized maintenance platform, maybe you would have had the right condition-based maintenance and predictive maintenance to figure out if that belt was going to go bad in the first place. Maybe it wouldn't have even been a downtime issue to begin with. So I know that was kind of a long story, but really that's what Fix does as a maintenance platform. It digitizes maintenance. So that way, when you find yourself in that scenario, it's a lot easier to get through it.
No, that makes sense. As a PLC guy, you hate to hear that the battery on the PLC. Now, a lot of the PLCs today don't have batteries anymore.
Yeah.
But the battery on the PLC is dead, and then somebody cycles power, and you lose your program. That was always the nightmare scenario. You know, the VFDs have fans that have to be taken out on a regular basis, and they can be as complicated as a filling machine, right, or any complicated machine to repair a VFD. So, yeah, definitely from the high-tech perspective, I can see where that could be helpful. Now, before we go, let's just run through all the websites again. How do people get to Fix, F-I-I-X? How do they get there and learn more about your company?
Yep, absolutely. So you can get there by going to fixsoftware.com. So F-I-I-X-software.com will get you right there.
And how do they find, if they're on Spotify or some other podcasting platform, how do they find your podcast?
Yeah. So if you're on Spotify or iTunes or whatever podcasting platform you're on, you can search Manufacturing Happy Hour. The show should pop right up. And I'll be honest, Google's your friend in this case as well. If you search for Manufacturing Happy Hour, it's going to be the first hit there also. And then, of course, with any good platform, the website manufacturinghappyhour.com gets you right there as well. So it should be easy enough for folks to find us here in the world. And, you know, if you forget the name, just be thinking about beer and happy hour, right? That's the reason we call it that. We want to get the name to stick.
Well, Chris, I really appreciate you coming on the Automation Podcast. We only do one podcast a week. So, you know, I'm hoping that some of our audience, I think we're up to 75,000 now. I hope some of you guys will check out Chris's podcast. Let us know what you think. And we hope we can have you back on in the future, Chris, and, you know, for a future episode to find out what's new and happening, you know, down the road.
Sounds great, Sean. Thanks so much for having me on. This was a fun conversation today.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Cheers.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I want to thank Chris for taking time out of his busy schedule to come on the show and tell us all about his podcast and his thoughts on industrial automation. Now, if you did enjoy the episode, then please consider giving us a like and a sub. And if you're listening to the audio-only edition, please consider giving us a 5-star review. And if you know anybody who's looking for Allen Bradley PLC or PAC or HMI or SCADA training or even Siemens PLC training, tell them to check out my website, theautomationschool.com, where you'll find all of my training courses on sale. With that, I want to wish you all a very happy, safe, and healthy week. And until next time, my friends, peace.